The Movie Files, a podcast featuring behind-the-scenes tales of motion picture history. Sponsored by Aplomb Publishing. Visit us on the web at www.aplombpublishing.com.
Welcome once again to the Movie Files. I am John William Law, your host. Thank you for tuning in again. We're going to talk a little bit about Montgomery Clift this time. In specific, we're going to talk in little detail about the movie I Confess. But before I get into it, I'll explain or give you a little background. So I've been working on another podcast series. It's called Hollywood Declassified. You can probably find it alongside where you find this podcast. It's a little different in that we do a topic series. So each series is a different set of episodes on a specific topic. The idea sort of stemmed a little bit about out of this podcast because I actually have done some of that type of work here. Obviously, as a writer, I sometimes have used this podcast as a platform to talk in depth about a specific book, and so that's the sort of where this is all going. So I actually do have a new book that's out. Probably by the time this is airing, the book should be out, and the book is called The Longest Suicide in Hollywood and the Death and Life of Montgomery Clift. And so that book is a part of the feature of the new series on Hollywood Declassified. So I'm talking a little bit in depth about some of the topics that are covered in the book, but in a slightly different angle, and I'm going into kind of different depths and different areas of that topic. I'm talking about a number of different things, but the book is again really about the last 10 years of Montgomery Clift's life. So it actually talks about the last 10 years from the making of Raintree County through his death in 1966. And I Confess is actually not covered in the book. I mean, I think I probably refer to it a couple times, maybe reference to it as a film that he did, but I don't write in any depth about it. So this was just another chance to kind of talk a little bit about the book and then talk about it in reference to something different. So I Confess is, a film that I'm actually a big fan of, and have seen many times and enjoy a lot. And I thought it would be kind of fun to talk a little bit about it and then talk about Montgomery Clift in the larger, in the bigger picture and kind of, you know, where the book kind of comes into play. Because again, the book really focuses on Raintree County, which was a film he made in 1956. And Montgomery Clift was involved in a horrific car crash during the filming of this movie. He'd actually made the film, had been kind of halfway or portion of the way through the film, filming it in Hollywood, and he went to a party at Elizabeth Taylor's house, and he left late at night. And there's a lot of discussion about what, you know, whether he was on alcohol or drugs or what happened, or whether, you know, did he pass out behind the wheel, that type of stuff. But in any event, he was driving kind of through Benedict Canyon in Beverly Hills, and he kind of swerved off of the road and hit a tree, and the car was kind of, you know, crushed, and he was kind of inside it, kind of wrapped around the car, and he was seriously injured in a whole number of injuries, largely to his head and face. He went through about 9 weeks or more of recovery to kind of recover and then go back and finish Raintree County. And and then he would go on to, you know, a number of films after that, but he would never really, Montgomery Clift's kind of career was really about a midway point. I think he made about as many movies after Raintree County as he did before, and his movies were, you know, I don't know that his career was necessarily impacted that much by the crash, but the crash, he was also kind of, because he was kind of heavily into kind of utilizing alcohol and drugs in his kind of life to kind of get him through the day. Discussions have often been, or arguments have been, is, you know, did that start at the time of the crash? And, you know, my book really kind of focuses on the fact that no, not really. I mean, he was already, you know, heavily involved in using drugs and alcohol to kind of get through the day before the crash. What the crash did, though, was that it actually kind of added in a whole new layer of, you know, there was now a new set of drugs and a new set of ailments of which he could kind of use to kind of, you know, and then have to use drugs and alcohol to kind of, you know, get through the day and deal with. So it was kind of another, you know, a step in kind of down a really, really dark path, I guess you could say. And so the book really focuses on the filming of that movie and the crash, and then the recovery from the crash, and then the subsequent work that he did, and the kind of downward spiral that he was sort of, immersed in, that would lead up until his death about 10 years later. But Montgomery Clift did make a lot of films before Ranger County, and one of them was I Confess, which is an Alfred Hitchcock film, and it was released in 1953, filmed in 1952 timeframe, filmed largely in Quebec. And if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Obviously, if you're a Montgomery Clift fan, chances are you have seen it. It is probably one of his more famous films, well-known film, and a decent hit. It made somewhere in the neighborhoods of $2 million, I think, at the box office. Hitchcock was really kind of coming into his own at this point. So Hitchcock was, I've talked about him many times. I've written a few books on Hitchcock too, so you can find a number of his films discussed in here, although I don't believe I ever talked about I Confess. In the 1950s, Hitchcock had really sort of came into his own. He had come to Hollywood in 1939 as kind of a British film director. He came to work with David O. Selznick, and he did a number of successful films. Certainly, obviously, things like Rebecca, which was his kind of was this the only film that he ever made that was won the Best Picture Oscar. He was nominated for Best Director for a number of films. Films like Foreign Correspondent, he did Suspicion and Notorious and Spellbound, and some really, really great films in the 1940s, and became kind of one of the kind of quintessential best known directors. Another great film that I have not talked about in here is his Lifeboat, which was another interesting film that he made that he was nominated for Best Director for, but. He was kind of struggling to kind of break out of behind kind of the contract that he had signed with David O. Selznick. And O. Selznick would kind of, force him to do the films that he wanted to do, or he would kind of loan him to do, certain projects that he felt that he could, loan him to make the most money for. And Hitchcock really wanted to kind of break out of that contract and that mode. So eventually he did get away from that. He did have a number of films he made with lots of different studios. So when you get into the kind of 1950s, he was making movies for studios like MGM and, Warner Brothers and Paramount. This film was one of several films he made for Warner Brothers during the 1950s. And the Warner Brothers films were mostly black and white films. So I Confess is probably one of the, it's hard to say, I can't say it's one of the best films that he made, because I think people argue and discuss, avidly about what films were, his best films. And you've got some really great films like Shadow of a Doubt and, there were lots of films in the 1950s, I'm trying to think. So Stage Fright he made, which was, again, one of those kind of little kind of films. He also made The Wrong Man in the latter part of 50s as well, which was part of the kind of similar deal he had signed a deal with to make a number of films for Warner Brothers. And I Confess was kind of smack in there in the middle of those films. It is a great little film. I really do like it. And I think Montgomery Clift really brought a lot to it. He was a kind of devilishly handsome kind of guy. So it's really kind of interesting to watch him in his close-ups. And he's got a really expressive face and great features and looks. And so, the movie is definitely around him. And he plays a priest who is overhears a confession of a murder. And he gets kind of implicated in the murder. And he can't kind of admit or can't tell the police, who confessed and what the story was. He has to protect that confessional. And so it's really a lot of the film is an internal struggle. There's not as much kind of heavy duty, heavy on the action type sequences type stuff that a lot of times Hitchcock is known for. The film was filmed largely in Quebec. So it does have this kind of great black and white, moody atmosphere, and the cobblestone streets of Quebec and things like that are really kind of come to life there. Ann Baxter and Carl Malden are his co-stars. Ann Baxter plays his kind of, I guess you could call her his love interest. He, even though he's not, he's a priest, he did have a relationship with her. She is kind of married to a guy, another guy, or and so there's a lot of kind of, you know, rumors and innuendo about an illicit love affair that he's had with her, and that that's somehow, you know, one of the reasons why he ended up, you know, why he would have been implicated in this potential murder. And then Carl Malden plays a police detective who is trying to solve the crime and is trying to kind of, you know, push Montgomery Clift's character into kind of confessing and admitting, you know, to, you know, the crime, or telling him what happened. And so it is a really kind of interesting kind of emotional, thought-provoking and kind of internalized drama, and more so than it is kind of heavy on the action, although there are some really nice action sequences. And again, Hitchcock, you know, was, you know, definitely a filmmaker who excelled in those types of kind of, you know, scenes where you really did need dialogue to kind of tell the story. Hitchcock and Montgomery Clift did not necessarily get along during the making of the film. They had very different approaches to making movies, and Hitchcock was very much about capturing a scene that he wanted an actor to move a certain way and look a certain way at a certain turn, you know, so that the camera could capture that actual, that activity, that action, or that sequence. He didn't care as much about the kind of internal workings of the character. He wanted the actor to deliver their lines and then let the actor kind of figure the rest out. And Montgomery Clift was very much into kind of the motivation behind. He was kind of came from that kind of method acting type approach. And Hitchcock never really worked well with people who were kind of method actors. So people like Paul Newman also had lots of issues with Montgomery, with making movies with Alfred Hitchcock because of that type of approach, because, you know, they were all about the motivation and less about the kind of action type stuff. So they had a lot of kind of, you know, kind of stubborn kind of fights, or kind of, you know, kind of moments where they had to kind of, you know, reach consensus and agree to how they would do it. And according to different pieces or different research, one of the ways that they ended up resolving that was that, you know, Hitchcock would sort of tell Montgomery Clift what he really wanted him to do, and tell him to do the scene this way. And Montgomery Clift would do it that way, but then they would also do another take or a few more takes, and they would do it a couple different ways. And Montgomery Clift could then kind of, you know, offer his own take or his own perception of what the scene would do. And then in the end, in the editing, you know, Hitchcock could then look at all the footage and then pick the scene that was kind of worked the best, or pick the cut that actually worked the best for him. That was not something that Hitchcock was big on either. That was part of one of the challenges for them, because Hitchcock very much had the film in his eye. He knew exactly what he wanted to catch, and all he really wanted to do was have the actor kind of perform on cue, of do exactly what he wanted him to do when he said action. And he didn't want to kind of look at different scenes and take different cuts of it. One of the reasons why Montgomery Clift had done the film was because he had a friend who was a priest, and he was fascinated by the idea of playing a priest and being caught up in this type of emotional roller coaster of the story, and that was why he accepted the role. He had a friend of his that was named Brother Thomas, and he had met him in around 1945, I think it was. And Brother Thomas was actually a priest in Quebec. He was a French monk, actually. He was very young. Montgomery Clift had met him around 1945, and the story goes that Montgomery Clift found him in Central Station in New York, Grand Central Station, and he had saw this young priest who was sitting there, and the priest was kind of very upset, and he was sort of crying, and he was sort of kind of had his head in his hands, and he was kind of didn't know what to do, and he looked kind of very perplexed and very upset. And Montgomery Clift went over to him, and because he saw this guy, and he didn't know him, but he just felt bad for him, so he went over to kind of ask him, you know, well, what was wrong? How, you know, what's the matter? And the priest didn't know any English. He only knew French. So he started speaking French, and Montgomery Clift knew French. So they actually started conversing, and they started having a conversation. And the priest is, you know, the monk, I guess you could say, he was telling him this story about, you know, that he had taken the train. He had flown in. He was going to Quebec, and he was there to get a train to Quebec, and he missed his train. And so he was at the train station, Grand Central Station, and he didn't know how to find out when the next train was. He didn't read or speak English, so he couldn't kind of figure out when the next train was, and he was very upset about this. So in any event, Montgomery Clift ended up helping him. He actually helped him figure out when the next train was, and the two apparently had a number of hours between when they met and when the train that he was going to have to take would be. So they ended up kind of getting together. Montgomery Clift invited him back to his apartment, and they went back and they had some, I guess, dinner or something, and they had a conversation. They talked a lot about, you know, their own kind of challenges and struggles, and they ended up kind of establishing a relationship and became, you know, would correspond. So they would write each other letters, and over a number of years they would keep in touch. And in fact, the brother Thomas had actually attended Montgomery Clift's funeral in 1966. And in fact, he was actually dying of cancer at the time, and he made an effort to go to his funeral. And Montgomery Clift was always fascinated with him and talking about the kind of internal struggles of, you know, of trying to be your best self and all these things that, you know, and trying to be true to yourself and all this stuff was always kind of working up in his head. And so he enjoyed kind of having these conversations and looking to someone like a brother Thomas to kind of give him advice. And so when the opportunity came to play a priest, he thought that that would be a fascinating, great opportunity to do. And that was sort of why he ended up doing the movie. Hitchcock always had cameos in his films, or most, or just about all of his films. And in I confess, he does have a cameo, a very, very brief cameo that you can almost miss. It happens in about, you know, the second minute of the film, runs after the credits end. You can see a brief kind of view of Hitchcock, kind of very darkened view of Hitchcock walking across a, you know, on a there's a stairwell, and he's kind of seen at the walking past this dark stairwell. While lots of people like I Confess, and certainly filmmakers find it a fascinating film for certainly for Hitchcock, it was not one of his biggest successes. It didn't do great at the box office. I mean, it did okay at the box office, certainly with Montgomery Clift, but critics were not, you know, hugely kind to it. It got pretty much mixed reviews. I think it's like a lot of films that Hitchcock made at the time, that it would take years later that people would start to kind of look at these films and dissect them and find them more kind of valuable or more important or better than they originally were received at the beginning. People felt it was a little contrived. And Hitchcock would later admit in an interview that he felt that at the time maybe he shouldn't have ever made the movie, that he felt that American audiences would have a hard time kind of seeing this or buying this whole, you know, idea that a priest would kind of, you know, literally, you know, struggle with the ability to kind of bring someone to justice for murder, and they didn't kind of wouldn't really understand it or couldn't really kind of buy into the whole argument. There is an interesting other little tidbit, is that the end of the film is, you know, Warner Brothers, the studios always wanted, and the kind of, you know, censors and you know, ethics and, you know, moral standards groups in Hollywood, and really wanted there to be a resolution to the story. So they wanted, you know, obviously the ending that happened, where there's kind of, you know, a result where the priest kind of gets off the hook for this whole crime in the end. In the original story, the intention was that they would hang the priest. The idea was that he would go to the gallows and die, you know, for this cause, for his you know, keeping someone's confession and you know, being kind of charged with murder. And then after his you know, hanging, he would then it would be discovered that he was innocent. And that was originally going to be the movie, but and Hitchcock would have very much liked that. I think Montgomery Clift would have liked that too, in a way, because they felt that the character was very kind of brooding and very dark, and it was a very kind of, you know, tense type of film that was really kind of not going in a good place. And it seemed like the likely scenario would be that he would have to pay this ultimate price, and that would be sort of, you know, the way the story would have to go for it to be kind of just. But obviously, studios wanting a happy ending had to find a way to kind of, you know, resolve that. So they would ultimately change the end of the film. So that's a little bit of a look at I Confess. Thank you for tuning in. You can certainly find I Confess on iTunes and as a digital download. It's on places like Amazon for download as well. You can buy it on DVD. It's in various versions. I don't know if it's on a Blu-ray version or not, but it is in digital virtual DVD discs. So there's lots of opportunities to kind of see it. It probably does also show up on TV, on Turner Classic Movies and stuff like that occasionally. And then obviously if you're interested more about Montgomery Clift, you could certainly look for the book, The Longest Suicide in Hollywood, on places like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes Bookstore. We have an enhanced edition, I believe, out there where I did some extra audio on it. And then again, Hollywood Declassified should be running an additional kind of series on Montgomery Clift. So thank you for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.